Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. I hope you had a fabulous weekend and hope it was a long weekend. It was interesting heading into Memorial Day. Kate Delaney, by the way, hanging out with all of you here on ATN. It was interesting heading into the weekend. I saw a story about John Bon Jovi. You know John Bon Jovi, right? Rock star, philanthropist, among the other things. He surprised the students of Rutgers, and he did a new song during the graduation ceremonies there. And can you imagine that John Bon Jovi comes to the stage and he's there delivering your commencement address? Maybe start to think about the people that are chosen to do that. Maya Rudolph, who used to be on Saturday Night Live, did the Tulane University grads commencement address a week and a half ago, and I bet you she was pretty funny, and I bet you she wrote some pretty funny lines. And some of these high profile speakers get paid a pretty decent amount of money to do these commencement addresses. In South Carolina, the governor, Nikki Haley, she did the commencement address at the University of South Carolina. That's pretty big, you know, to have the governor come and do that, I would say. And it made me think of some of the more interesting ones, like, how about this one? Pepperdine University's, you know, graduation speaker was Anthony Hopkins. Clarice. I can think, you remember from Silence of the Lambs. Can you imagine what that would be like, listening to what he'd have to say? I bet it would be pretty good. I've heard him speak before, and he's actually pretty good speaker, no question about it. There was another one, Walter Isaacson, I think some of his stuff that he's written has been really pretty incredible, and he is the CEO of the Aspen Institute, and he was the senior day speaker at Vanderbilt University. That would have been, I think, a pretty big treat to hear him, to hear him speak. I think he would have been really, really good. Denzel Washington, Dillard University in New Orleans, he gave the graduation commencement address there. I bet you that would have been kind of interesting to hear what he had to say. I'd love to hear little snippets of it. We'll try to get some of them. How about Salman Rushdie? He was the speaker at Emory University. But anyway, you get my drift, some of the people that are chosen. And maybe one of my favorites that I read about was the filmmaker Ken Burns. He was the speaker at the commencement of the Washington Kids, Washington University, in the one in St. Louis. And, I mean, listen, this guy has put together some amazing documentaries. And then there was the controversy over Matthew McConaughey. He was the speaker at the University of Houston. And initially, the university was reluctant to have him come and speak because you know what he got paid? You know what he got paid to do a commencement address? I think the rest of us are missing out on something. $135,000 plus travel fees and commission for the agency. But he's giving the money. Now, here's the other part of this. He's giving the money to his foundation. So, I mean, you have to applaud that. But the university, with how people, some kids are struggling to pay for the tuition, and that's what they're shelling out, wow. And I bet you Matthew McConaughey, though, was probably interesting. He's kind of fearless, and he talks about just living. So he's probably, I'm assuming, did that in his commencement address. But we're going to try to get a couple of those for you and at a later date play some of them in the next week or so. All right, so best barbecue. I brought this up the other day and said I think it's hard to define what's the best barbecue. You know, it is the Memorial Day weekend, the holiday, and it makes me think of barbecue, hot dogs, hamburgers, and barbecue. So I saw a recent list. It was on CNN. And they talked about TripAdvisor. CNN did the story, but it was TripAdvisor who put the list together. And Joe's Barbecue in Blue Ridge, Georgia was at the top of the list, saying they said basically the pork and the ribs were the best, period. Then there's a theme here. Then there was Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Kansas City. I've heard of Joe's. Then there was Bogart's. I've heard of Bogart's. I haven't been there. There in Florida, there was a ton of different places that got listed. Reuben's, Captain and Buck's, they all made the list. And I've been to Buck's Smokehouse, that's in Destin. Franklin's Barbecue in Austin, I really want to try that. I heard that's pretty incredible. Reuben's is in Fort Myers, and I have been to that. There's another one in Richmond, Virginia, that made the list that I've been to, and it was really mouthwatering. Hog's Head Cafe, and it's just absolutely excellent. So they then also talked about the best states for expertly smoked meats. Who do you think made the list for that? And smoked meat is the best. Tennessee was number one. Number two was Missouri. Number two was Texas. Number three was Missouri. Number four was North Carolina. Five was Georgia. Six, Florida. I feel like I have to do the list, the whole list, top ten since I said it. Seven was South Carolina. Eight, California. Nine, Virginia. And 10, New York. There is no clear-cut way, I'll say it again, to definitively say who has the best barbecue. But if I own Joe's Barbecue in Blue Ridge, Georgia, I'm happy that I was selected as number one barbecue restaurant according to the travel site TripAdvisor. I'd say thank you very much. I love it. And they said the quality of the reviews and everything else, they said it was just incredible, mouthwatering, can't get enough of it. People come back again and again and again, lines out the doors, you know, at the door every single night. So, you know what, that does speak volumes that certainly people like it, if even local people are going there again and again and again and finding it hard to pull themselves, you know, away from the spot. I totally get it. Yep, mouthwatering is good for me. Or maybe you think you make the best barbecue. Sometimes it's the homemade stuff that's better. And if you truly like yours, then when you go out, you're going to be hypercritical of some other barbecue, and then for whatever it costs you, you'd rather probably make it yourself. You know, did you ever find that? It's like me with pasta. I think a lot of times my pasta is a lot better than pasta I get out. So, and I, of course, try to stay away from it. I don't want to be eating a ton of pasta, but I wouldn't, I just don't like other pasta that I taste, and then they charge you $15 for a bowl of pasta or whatever, and that's just way too much, I would have to say. So you might have gone away. You might have done the pasta thing somewhere, and or went and ate hamburgers or barbecue or, you know, whatever you did. If you are listening to me and you're on your way back because you took that extra day off, please be careful. This is one of the heavily traveled holidays. It's not a lecture. It's just knowing the statistics, because I've gone over them for years and years. It's, you know, Monday and even Tuesday can be a really deadly day because people are rushing. They're trying to squeeze out the last seconds of a holiday, and they're rushing to get back. Stay with us. Much more coming your way on this version of America Tonight. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Bitte britisch wissen, bitte britisch wagen, bitte the photo rager, and it's for rager for all the beast. The bloke who enjoys a pint and the burger on the joke who looks at when he's down the pub, walking down some top of the pub. A rager for the decent bloke's missus and for the cheeky nippers. A rager for an alright bloke who's always cheery, bright and chipper. A rager for a commune store, an expert on gas.
Alright, we talk about this all the time on America Tonight. It's fuzzy math, or it just doesn't make sense when we talk about government spending and how we're spending our way into oblivion. And some of you get that, but why do our leaders keep doing the same thing? It's about getting reelected. At least that's the road that they seem to take. And wouldn't it make a difference if they went in a different direction, like we saw with the Prime Minister David Cameron and what he recently did in those elections in the UK that surprised a few people? But if you look a little deeper than that, it completely makes sense what's happening there. And Ivan Elin, of course, picked up on this, the senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he's just written something that came up in one of his pieces for the Huffington Post. And it's what Americans should learn from the British election. And I hope a lot of you read it and take heart to what he's saying, because it really pulls this all into perspective as to what's going on in the United States. Ivan, as always, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So I kind of brushed the surface with broad strokes, but what was it that David Cameron did so well that led to his conservatives winning an outright majority of seats in Parliament and really rocking the other side, really rocking what happened in these recent elections, not expecting that finish?
Well, no one really expected it, because the polls were, the Labor and conservatives were even, and in their system, even if Labor got less votes, they could form form a coalition with the Scottish National Party, which did very well. But, of course, the Conservatives did much better than anybody thought, and they got an outright majority in the Parliament. They had to have a coalition before. And what really happened here is the British people should be applauded. Cameron came in, and he did what I would say a moderate austerity program. And you say, well, it's only moderate. Well, we can't get that in the United States, really, except through sequestration, which we had a little bit of, but those budget cuts have been since attenuated. So he did this for several years, and not only did the British people resoundingly elect him, he's in a better position than he was when he first took office. So that's really astounding that austerity, you know, we in Greece and Spain and some of these other countries like Italy, in the southern part of Europe, austerity leads to riots and everything else. But in Britain, austerity led to re-election by a resounding margin. And I think Cameron has pledged to double down on this. And not only has his austerity, done the traditional types of cutting social programs and that sort of thing, but he's also cut defense. And I think that's really what needs to happen. I was probably the only person in Washington, D.C. that was in favor of sequestration, which was across the board cuts. Unfortunately, it didn't include the entitlements, but at least it was cutting something across the board. And I think that's really the only way you can get support in Washington for budget cuts. You just say, well, we have an $18 trillion debt. We have even more, you know, unfunded things in the future worth trillions of dollars. We're in much worse fiscal shape than anybody realizes. In fact, we're near Greek levels and that sort of thing. The difference is we have the world's reserve currency. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we keep acting responsibly in the future, China may have the reserve currency instead of us. And then, of course, we're in real big trouble. But I think we're in trouble anyway because we have a lot of people who are retiring and we have fewer workers. That's Social Security and Medicare and, the other big entitlement programs are just out of control. And the politicians, unfortunately, our system, there's just no incentive to pare it back because that's the way politicians get elected. And unfortunately, the American population, I think, allows that. They talk small government rhetorically, but when it gets down to how they vote, I'm afraid Americans are for far too big a government.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody talks about small government and states' rights and whatnot, or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot, and especially we see that here with the listeners. But how are they voting? Are they really paying attention to it? And you point out the examples of other presidents, though, U.S. presidents, who have gone in that other direction. You go back to Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge, and you mentioned Dwight Eisenhower, and, of course, Bill Clinton. And wouldn't it be a bold step for a politician to step out, give that example, and then explain, as you've explained, listen, you're not realizing this, but bubbling up on the surface, here's what we have going on, and if we don't do something now, we're in serious danger of a couple of things happening economically that, trust me, will rock your world.
Yeah, and I think it's not all pain. I mean, what you're doing is you're having short-term austerity for longer-term and sustained economic growth. And I think that's why our growth has been so anemic after the recession was because Bush and Obama both turned on either the spending spigots or the money supply spigots. And that's sort of artificial prosperity. It's sort of a, you know, when you eat a bunch of cotton candy, it's not really nutritious. It's just a sugar high. And I think that's kind of what we've been on a little bit here. And now, of course, it's slowing down. The recovery seems to be slowing down. It was never very strong. Now, what Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge did, what Dwight Eisenhower did, and what Bill Clinton did was they cut the budget. And that led to, in every case, it led to a decade of prosperity. And I think you can do austerity and have prosperity. And I think Cameron has also proved it And so have the Germans. The two best economies, I think, or two of the best, at least in Europe, are Germany and Britain now, because they did undertake those austerity programs. And the British one is probably going to even accelerate now that Cameron has got sort of a mandate from the British people to continue with it. His was moderate before. And, of course, the Germans have always been, after the 1920s and 30s, they've been very cognizant of inflation. So they've always been very frugal in their financial affairs.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned too about the Chinese, and you talk about it as well in your piece, and you say that you look at China and this threat and the fact that we're not really learning from what the Chinese have done since they've embraced capitalism. And generally how they've cut back on defense, or how they did it, was way at the bottom of the list. Of course, what we kept seeing just a few years ago was, wow, they're this massive amount of an army that they're building up, and pretty soon they're going to be a bigger superpower than we are. I remember I kept seeing headlines like that, not too long ago. But you say that what's happened is really they've had this rapid economic growth, and they've been just slowly increasing their defense budget, right?
Yeah, for a long time they really didn't do too much on it. It was a fourth of their four economic priorities, and of course the top three were, you know, economic development. And yet they said the economy first. And I think the basis of power, of military power, cultural power, social power, you know, et cetera, in the world is based on economic power. And the Chinese realized that, of course, and they realized that they had to keep their defense spending under control until they got their economy, they grew their economy. Now that their economy is, you know, second only to the U.S. in the world, they are increasing their defense and have been for the last few years. But, you know, the U.S. still spends, much more than the Chinese do, and we have commitments all over the world. I would say we're sort of in the overextended empire, and I think national greatness conservatives ought to realize that perhaps we need to retract our defense perimeter and, you know, rejuvenate our economy and refresh our presence in the world with a healthy economy, because that's, as I say, is the basis of all national power. And I think we're really overextended. We have far too many commitments, and we have a huge defense budget, but it's not even big enough to fulfill all the commitments, because the commitments are way out of control, and the defense budget is also out of control. And I think, you know, we spend what the next 13 countries do combined on defense. So how can China be a threat to us in any way, simply because they're mainly a regional, they want more influence in their region. And so I think we need to put these things in perspective. We allow the defense bureaucracies and defense industries to tell us that these threats are bigger than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Ivan Elin, check out his stuff, Good Stuff, Senior Fellow and Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And you can always look up a lot of what Ivan talks about on the Huffington Post. Ivan, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Walland Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN. The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their bodies stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extracts offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.
Can I put in something like, this is American music, take one. One, two, three, four. Do you like American music? I like American music. Don't you like American music, baby?
American music. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. America Tonight, of course, as we continue to rock through this hour. Sadly, I have to tell you, because I've got so many family and friends that live in the Philadelphia area, as you all know, they've sent me some of the pictures that they've seen, other things that they may be out there nationally, but things that, you know, because, of course, they had massive coverage there. Oh, my gosh, this train accident that we talked about,
last night. So sad. It was first of all, the train was going 106 miles an hour into a 50 mile an hour curve. You are not surviving that. I mean, you know, it was the people that did survive. I mean, you've got some in the hospital that are critical. It's crazy. And, you know, this was a deadly Amtrak derailment in Philly. They were going from Washington to New York City. And they're looking at everything. Was it human performance, human error? Was it track conditions? What was it that led to that speed up? What caused that to happen? I mean, there wasn't any safety. And you see that train and, oh man, I am telling you, I think I described it this way last night, but after seeing even more pictures of it, it is just a sad, sad sight. It is as though I reached into the pantry, grabbed some aluminum foil, crinkled it up, crunched it up, and threw it on the floor in different pieces. I mean, seriously, that's what that train looks like. I don't know how anybody got out of that first car, but they did. Some people survived it. Others not quite as lucky. Just, you know, absolutely sad to see that. We're going to have some people on next week to talk about what's happening in the industry and what about safety. And, you know, that's one of the things that I said is, and in this case, I don't know that it would have helped that much, except for that when the train turned over, you had people that were just thrown upside down. If there were some kind of belts, would that have made a difference? And I've taken that train many times, just giant seats, and you're pretty close. If it's a lot of people on the train, you're pretty close to each other as they turn the seats inward. And there's nothing, you could grab onto something, but you've got a lot of metal and hard things around you. So it'd be pretty tough if that was rolling over and over again. And you can tell, obviously, that's what happened. The other thing is, since we're sticking with the dire, sad stuff happening in the world close to home and off our shores, Nepal. Unbelievable that they got rocked with another earthquake, within the 2 weeks. Dozens of people have been killed. The remote areas, they don't even know. They're trying to get there and find out about these mountain villages because they're pretty much cut off. Then they're worried about the monsoon season in Nepal. You have the aftershocks. I mean, it is scary what's happened to Nepal. Because you had the first earthquake, awful enough. We had 8,000 people dead and villages just flattened. And that was April 25th, and that was 7.8. Then you get hit by another one, 17-plus dead, India, China, parts that are, you know, connected. And I think there's still a lot that they don't know about this last one, except for that it was 7.3. So it was pretty bad. I mean, not the 7.8, see, just a little tiny difference there, but enough that it brought down some houses that you had buildings that definitely shook. You had some journalists on the ground that were doing stories about the first earthquake. You had a search for a missing U.S. helicopter saying that the helicopter was trying to reach some of the rural areas, and they were concerned about that. And, you know, just awful. Just a complete catastrophic mess. In Kathmandu, temples, apartments. They were already trashed in April, now worse. The new quake, more damage to structures. And, of course, the people are so freaked out about that, they're just literally ran into the streets, you know, screaming. So close together. And it's like I described the Amtrak wreck. Well, you know, you look at what happened in Nepal, and it's as if you just had bricks all over the place. Just bricks, and then you've got shards of glass and lumber thrown out all over the place and half buildings and, you know, like I said, even gotten a lot worse because you have one earthquake on top of another earthquake. But there are always powerful stories that emerge from human survival of people helping other people or rescuing people. And there was a great story that happened a week after the Nepal quake. I was reading more details on it today. A 101-year-old man was rescued from under his home
on Saturday, 1 week after the quake, you know, slapped into Nepal. So he's in stable condition. They don't know how he survived. They're not even sure, still even at this point, they're hoping his injuries are, you know, he's going to heal. But that death toll was so incredibly high, and how buildings just fell right on the heads of everybody. It's incredible. The guy's name was Fungchu Tamarang, and he survived it. He survived it somehow. I mean, this incalculable human loss and the suffering and the millions of people just homeless trying to figure out what to do. And this guy somehow underneath, buried. Because, you know, the chances of finding someone a week later, especially, so extremely thin, needless to say. But the key thing is that that he did make it, and that was that story that you could say, oh, thank goodness. I know there are other stories of courage or rescue or survival, but there's one of them, and at that age, too, to survive that, pretty wild, no doubt. Here's a follow-up that I wanted to put in the mix right from the get-go in this hour. You know, we now have turned the Secret Service into a punchline in this country, and you wonder how safe the president is by who's guarding him, in all seriousness, by some of the... They've had to change the fence around the White House, and they're working on that. Well, how this story goes is a longtime Secret Service agent who was part of what happened in March, who was one of two guys driving in a car after heavily drinking and leaving the Secret Service, you know, leaving the party and then coming back to the White House. He was, I mean, just terrible what happened, because they had an incident and they thought someone had thrown a bomb, and so then he was running back with somebody else in a car driving back, and they smashed into a barricade and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that Secret Service agent decided, well, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to resign. And Mark Conley, the second ranking agent, so that's pretty high, on the president's detail, is retiring, right? And, of course, they were smart to do this. They were probably getting word as to what was happening, because this is right in front of the release of the Inspector General's report that will say that the report's findings will be shocking. It'll be unacceptable, their lack of judgment and, you know, what they did. So they're jumping out on it. And first Conley is, you know, decided he's retiring. And then you had the other agent who decided, yeah, I've got to do this too. And you had the Secret Service Director, Joe Clancy, who, remember, tried to explain it to the House and took a big hit. And these reports, he says what's come up in the reports are unacceptable. It was just a couple of months ago where he's peddling around trying to fumble and figure out a way to explain that late night brouhaha that happened at the command post when they were looking into the possible bomb going through the barricade that I just explained. So, and the director didn't even know until 5 days later. I mean, there's one of the big problems. The guy at the top needs to know when somebody does something like run through a barricade after having a few drinks at the White House responding to a bomb threat, and to not know. So whoever is the person in charge, they have to be the linchpin. They have to be the glue. And they said there was no evidence of a surveillance video, or maybe it had been, you know, there was no evidence that the surveillance video actually been destroyed, because the footage of what happened wasn't there. It had been deleted. And they said it's standard practice to delete footage after 72 hours, which saved them in a sense, because the director didn't even know for 5 days. Didn't even know. You can bet that as buttoned up as they can possibly be, the Secret Service will try and do that, because Clancy cannot afford to have anything else that comes out where
I mean, it's one thing to have some kind of an incident, but anything where he's not informed, somebody gets through the door of the White House, somebody's on the elevator with the president, he's got a gun, somebody's whatever, somebody's smashed through a barricade after being at a party responding to a bomb threat, or they're the detail that went ahead and they're picking up prostitutes. I mean, they're, you know, pick your poison. Nobody can drink this from this well in the near future, or Clancy is out. And that would be the second head of the Secret Service to go within, you know, 8 months if that happens.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning,
my talk about a kick in the head.
Beautiful.
So many of you have filled the coffers of our very, very big mailbox. And added to, I think, a lot of the funny things with dumb things I shouldn't have done. And let me tell you,
this segment's really catching on. Somebody asked me to be a guest on the radio show, and they said, you do that dumb things. Like they thought it was 3 hours of dumb things. And I suppose if you put in the politics that we talk about and everything else, it probably is 3 hours of dumb things mixed up. Anyway, here's the latest version of dumb things I shouldn't have done.
Dum, 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 dum. I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you knew. Oh, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little bunny, isn't it? Well, it's always the same. I always tell them,
shut up!
Do they listen to me?
Right!
Oh, no.
Yes, dum, 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 and oh, so many. This one from Elizabeth says, Kate, my husband told me about your dumb things. He said I had a lot that I could contribute. I don't know if I should put him in the doghouse for saying that or not, but this might be one of the dumber things that I did. I am famous for my spaghetti and meatballs. So I made my spaghetti and meatballs, and my husband likes the spaghetti and meatballs with some of the red pepper flakes on it, you know, mixed in with Parmesan cheese. I always sprinkle it on, and then he eats it that way, comes to the table. I know, he's spoiled. So I put the food out for him, and I had the flakes all mixed into the spaghetti. Sounds good, doesn't it? Except for it turns out I put chili powder instead all over his spaghetti. He was not happy. His face turned kind of bright red when he took the first giant bite that he was shoving in his mouth. So he thought that was one of the dumber things I've done. Once we make up, I will send you some other things that I think fit into your dumb things segment. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I love that. Yeah. Hey, you've done a lot of dumb things. You need to go and send them to her radio show. Yeah, I don't know. That might be the dumb thing, the husband saying that. But I can see that. You know what it's like? I've got a dumb thing, and I don't know if and this has happened to any of you, but it might have. Where I was out at a restaurant, and I want to say I was with my my mother at the time. So this was a couple of years ago because my mom passed away 2 years ago. So it might have been 3 years ago. And we were at some hamburger place. She didn't eat fast food very often. It wasn't a fast food place. I think it was like a Johnny Rockets or something. And the salt and pepper was on the table, and we were going to put a little salt and pepper. So somebody did not put the lid on tight. Maybe they were playing a trick, or it wasn't on tight. I don't know. But the salt just went all over. I mean, it was like a salt hill, let me tell you. And I'm not a huge salt person, so it was just a tiny bit. It was saturated. It was like a burger with a mountain of salt on the top. Has that ever happened to any of you? Sometimes that happens with, of course, other things, sugar. So, in fact, this leads into our next one. This one is from Bob in Illinois, who says, Kate, I've emailed you about my frustrations with the political beings that we have in office right now, but this is a different animal altogether. I had to tell you about something that happened that was pretty tragic, actually. I was at a wedding, and the wedding food, it was an outdoor wedding. It was pretty, it was elegant, I suppose, because they had those white tablecloths and everything. But the food was supposed to be kind of picnic-y food. So they had ketchup and mustard and kind of these fancy hot dogs and some other things. They just jazzed them up. I guess it's the best way for me to describe it. I'm not a great foodie, so I'm not good at that. But when I sat down, I had a ketchup bottle, and it's one you just squirt out, so it should have been seemingly easy. I had the nozzle pointed at my wife's dress, and I had the hot dog in my hand. I didn't realize it was really pointed toward the hot dog, but I squeezed and it went flying and unfortunately right down the front of her dress. Yeah, that's a rough one. And I don't know, what, there's nothing you can do about that. You've got a ketchup stain for that, I guess not ceremony, probably was after, from what it sounds like, it was a reception. So for the rest of that reception, you've got ketchup stained dress. I don't know how you can get that out. If you, I mean, afterwards, taking in the dry cleaners or whatever, but when you're actually at the party, I don't think there's too much. Now, if it was like red wine and you threw, you know, the salt example I said where the salt fell all over, if you purposely threw tons of salt on a wine spot, that would pull a lot of that up. But I don't think it does the same thing for ketchup. But I'm still picturing in my head, I know exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking about shaking the bottle. He's talking about they have the little squeeze bottles to make it easier. And I'm sure that's why they had them. It was probably how the layout was. And sure, if you squeeze too much, a lot of it's going to come out. But if you just were to stand or sit and squeeze and not look where the nozzle was or think it was pointed down, yeah, that's going to land wherever you, however hard you squeeze it and wherever you squeeze it. Oh, that would be so, oh, that'd be upsetting. It would be the dress wear. It just would. Oh, you just have to stain, and how, you know, what are you going to do? I guess you just have to live with it. It's only a stain. Just dance or do whatever you have to do and then go home and take care of it. He may be in the doghouse too for that. I'm not sure. There was no after. Here's what happened afterwards. Okay, how about this one? This is from Keith, who says, oh, Kate, I don't know, where do I begin? I have so many dumb things, as does everybody. And somebody might have called about this one before, but usually if I go and get my car washed, I go to the place where the car goes through itself, and it costs me a ridiculous amount of money, $25 or $20 or whatever they try to get me to buy everything under the planet on the car window. But I didn't have time, and I needed the car to be clean. I was picking up my son for something, so I just went to the gas station, and they have the kind of car wash. It's a Shell station where you pull in and you stop the car, and then the car gets washed, you know, right there while you're sitting in the car. And I didn't realize I had left the two back windows open pretty far, so the soap and all that stuff was coming in before I even realized it. And I did eventually get them, of course, closed, but already most of that water was hitting it so fast, it came in and so did all the soap. So it was just a really big hassle to go and towel it all dry, leave the windows open. It was sort of a overcast day, and so I could say it was a little bit of a disaster, and certainly was a dumb thing. They even tell you to put down your antenna and roll up the windows, and I thought they were, because I have, like everybody else, electric windows, but it wasn't, and once I realized it had already happened. I think one time somebody else told us a story like that, where they went through the other kind, the older kind, where you just went in and stopped the car, and they did the same thing. That'd be easy to forget. I think what's even easier to forget, and I don't even know if I'd call it a dumb thing, although they do warn you about it, is the antenna thing. When you have an antenna and you don't put the antenna down, that can be pretty disastrous. All right, the dumb things. Very, very good. Very entertaining. If you want to share your dumb things, you can. Send them to us. AmericaTonight.net.
Do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.